Welcome to Real Home, hosted by Tamara Taylor. Whether you are selling, buying, staging, refreshing, organizing, decluttering, cleaning, and everything in between, we have insider expert tips that's going to help turn your house into a real home. Stay tuned for more.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. This is your girl, Tamara Taylor. I am so excited to be back with Harp Sound Radio, doing exactly what I love. Guys, I hope everyone has had an amazing summer. We are heading into September, new month, new goals. Are you ready? So let's get into our episode for today. Today, we're going to be talking about school is in session. Are you ready and are you prepared? I know that right now, everybody's kind of coming off of their vacations. They're enjoying themselves from the summer, but now they have to shift their mindset back into the kids got to go back to school. I'm preparing for college. What do I do? What are the essentials? What do I need to have? Tamara, help me, help me. And I'm here. I am here. So listen, we're going to talk a little bit about getting your kids prepared, if no matter what grade, what age they are, these essential tips can go a long way to help make sure that your teenager, young adult, college student, or little bitty baby, they are ready. All right, so let's get into our first tip. So the main thing that you want to do in your home before you do anything is you have to create a space. You need to make sure that your home is clutter-free and you are setting the atmosphere of a peaceful, calming, centered area. Your home is a reflection of you. So if you are chaotic, your home typically will reflect that type of energy. So what you want to do first and foremost, and make sure that your home reflects a space of peace, somewhere that your kids feel comfortable to come in, do their homework, gather and meet with their friends, and a space that is safe enough for them to talk to you about whatever's going on and engaging with you. I know as parents, as grandparents, aunties, uncles, dads, we sometimes get over inundated because it's like we got to check homework. We're trying to cook dinner. We're trying to get the house clean. We're doing all of these things, but we have to make sure that we are creating the space of comfortability because our kids are experiencing so much right now. They're experiencing bullying. There is so much going on with other kids in competition. Well, someone wore this or I got made fun of because I may not have this or the fanciest clothes or name brand. It's so many things because we just live in a world where everything right now is all about the presentation. And we know that kids can be cruel. Heck, adults can be cruel and mean. So imagine our little ones. So we have to, one, create a safe space for them to be able to come in and open up those lines of communication. Be that judgment-free zone and be that safe space where your kids can come in no matter what. You know, I've seen too many stories where kids have gotten bullied and then they've been ready to commit suicide or don't want to be here anymore. And you do not want that for your kid. You don't want them to feel like they can't come to you. And if it's something that you may not be able to handle, then you want to be able to have someone that they feel comfortable that they can go to. You also want to create a space for them to do homework. Hey, listen, this is the era we're in and computers are in. Everything right now is mostly being done by the computer. So you want to make sure that you have an area for them to be able to create and do their homework. Unleash their creativity. You want to have make sure that it's well lit. It is a clean area. And you also want to make sure that you have supplies and make it a fun little area. Make it something that's personalized for them, not just your office area where they're just looking at mom and dad pictures or their own pictures, but have something that's age appropriate. Well, this is a space that they don't mind coming to, unwinding and doing their homework. The next thing is we have to establish a routine. A routine is necessary in our day-to-day, especially when we're trying to get them up to go to school at a certain time. We have to be to work by a certain time. So we need to have routines in place. If it's a two-parent household, or you have grandparents or other family members or neighbors that collectively help, because you know that old saying, it takes a village. It really does. It takes a village. And do not be afraid to ask for help. Sometimes we take on this Superman or Superwoman identity that we can do everything and we're drowning and we don't ask for the proper help that we need. Listen, I'm telling you from experience that there are some times that I really wish I would have said help when my kid was a lot smaller. I need help. I'm drowning. Help me. And so you want to be able to create a routine. Make sure that they have an alarm clock. You have an alarm clock. You need to determine how early do we need to get up in the mornings to make sure if your child has to catch the bus, what time does the bus come? Where does the bus come? Do I need to be watching them at the bus stop? If you're the parent that drops off, what time do I need to be in the drop-off line to make sure that I can still get to work on time and I'm not rushing? You don't want to create that atmosphere of rushing, because that can go and lead to anxiety and making you feel so anxious. And we don't want our little ones to have that anxious feeling. We want them to know that we got this, we're calm, and that helps create a space for them that they're calm, that they are confident that they can take on the day, because we are setting the atmosphere. So if you need to wake up, if you have your prayer time, you need to establish how long you need to wake up to make sure that you're giving God glory and his time first and foremost, and then you're waking up the kids. If you're doing family prayer, then, you know, as a collective, if you're just praying over each one, whatever your routine is, you want to make sure that you have it. Also creating a routine of how do I need to prepare, not just in the mornings, but what are some things that I can do in the evening? Well, here's a couple of tips. One, meal prepping. If you have a child that is homeschooled or going out for school, if they're catching the bus or you're dropping them off, your time is limited. And if you have someone that is being homeschooled, even if you're doing it or you have someone else that's coming in to help, you still want to establish that routine, because you still have to provide for breakfast. Are you packing lunches? Are you providing lunches if they're sitting at the table? When is the designated lunch hour? You need to prepare those things. So first and foremost, you need to make sure that you have the routine set that, okay, I'm going to have prepared breakfasts. So this will be a grab and go. It's something beyond just a Pop-Tart. It could be a bagel. There are recipes that you can do where you can make sandwiches, and you can do like a ham, egg, and cheese, or bacon, egg, and cheese, or sausage, egg, and cheese on a biscuit or on a bagel. You can do that and have it pre-made. And all you have to do is put it in the freezer. If you make them up, say on a Saturday or Sunday, you can put them in the freezer, however many you need. That way they can just pop them out. They can microwave them. And that's a healthier option than buying some of those other pre-made things that they sell in the stores that are already done for you. Plus, you're being able to feed your kids something with love. You can feed them some oatmeal, or if they like fruit, you can make a nice little fruit bowl for the breakfast in the morning. You have possibilities, but you want to establish what type of breakfast and making sure that you're meal prepping. Doing the same thing for lunch. If you have to pack lunches, making sure that you have peanut butter and jelly. Are you doing crustables? Are they going to take, protein? What do they need to have through the day for their snacks? Then that's going to be grade and age specific. But you want to make sure that you have your home stocked with those things. That way they can grab and go, and you have healthy options as well as parents, because we don't want them just full with junk. So as much as we can do, you know, even with trail mix, you can make your own trail mix. There's a lot that you can make. There are tons of recipes. And we'll get into some more additional recipes later as we continue on through the Real Home. But for today, we're just kind of sharing some practical tips to make sure that you are prepared for this school year. The next thing you want to do is dinner. That's another part where people are getting so stressed out. And I was just having a conversation with my best friend the other day because I was sharing with her. I was like, oh, my crock pot has been packed away. This is the time I need to go ahead and unpack it. I'm going to pull my crock pot from out of the counter, wash it, and get ready. And she was like, girl, I use my crock pot all year round. And I was like, well, I really don't. But you know what? That is a good idea because I kind of think more so on the fall or cooler months. I really don't use it as much during the summer. But I was like, yeah, that is a good idea because there's a lot of different recipes and things that you can do no matter what time of the year it is. But finding recipes that work, and crock pots are great because you can put all of your meats in there. You could do one pot meals. You put it on low, you season it up, and then you can go on throughout your day, whether you work from home or work outside of the home. By the time you get home, your dinner is done. And that's one thing that you don't have to worry about. And if you're not a crock pot person, that's fine too. There's meals that you could prepare and go ahead and put them in the freezer. You can do, say, some meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and a vegetable. It's already pre-made. So literally, you're just pulling it out the freezer and thawing it up and reheating it. And boom, dinner is on the table within 20 minutes. There are so many different options, but again, it just goes back to making sure you are properly prepared. So with snacks, same thing. They have the reusable bags that you can get, and you could do snacks and do some grapes, cut up some strawberries, cut up mangoes, cut up pineapples. So literally, you're just putting them in a cute little bag, or if you have Ziplocs, and then it's a grab and go. And already have those prepared, so you're not stressing out on a Wednesday night when your child has forgotten to tell you there's a project due the next day. There's enough stresses as parents that you have. We don't need anything else to stress us out. So these tips are really to just help you as you're going along to making sure that your week will start off in a powerful, less stressful way, because you'll condition yourself and your mindset and your behaviors to properly prepare for this time. Also, another thing that we kind of dread at from time to time, now some people don't, you know, everybody's different, but we also have to get in that laundry. And when the kids are back to school, we're working out 5 days, sometimes 6 or 7, depending on what type of career you have, we still have to get in laundry. So having those times where you can get the laundry in, or if you're able to do a load in the evening while you are preparing dinner, while you're going through homework, that way you don't feel so over inundated on the weekend and you're trying to do 7 loads of laundry, you find a schedule and find a routine that really works for you, because every household is different. Some people may have one child. Some people have 10 kids. Some people have 5 and anything in between. It doesn't matter. It just matters what is best for your household. And if you are a stay-at-home mom, these tips and tricks work for you as well, because it makes sure that your household is running like a well-oiled machine. And again, it prevents the stress and the tiredness and the feeling of overwhelmingness of trying to complete some of these activities. So guess what? Now we got the clothes in the washer. Of course, the weekend is where we typically do our heavier deep cleaning. Go back and listen to some of my previous episodes when I really talk about scheduling deep cleaning and how to make it more efficient for you. But now we have the laundry. Make sure that you're putting the laundry up. I know that it sometimes can be easier to just let the laundry sit, or it's in the dryer and I'll get it out, or I'm taking it out the dryer and I'll fold these clothes within 3 to 5 business days. But what happens is we tend to go and pile up. Our week is going back busy again, because not only do we have our regular work schedules and getting the kids to and from school, but now we have extracurricular activities. We have to get them to band camp. We have to get them to cheerleading. We have to get them to football practice, basketball practice, and all of these other things. And then that laundry just sits there. And then by before you know it, the week is over. And guess what? You still have laundry that you haven't even folded or touched or tapped into the previous week. So one of the things that really help you declutter and de-stress and to make sure that your home is effective and efficient is to go ahead and do the laundry. As soon as you get it out, fold those towels, fold those washcloths, appropriate them to the right bathrooms. Go ahead and put the kids' clothes up. If the kids are responsible for their own laundry because you're teaching them independence, wonderful. Make sure that they have those good habits in place. Want to go ahead and start teaching them as soon as that laundry comes out, make sure you take it to your room, fold it up, hang it up, or whatever needs to be done. It's creating those good habits off bat. And some of us have those habits. Some of us kind of strayed away just because of time restraints. And again, life happens, and those are the things that we'll kind of deal with a little bit later. But when you're doing it immediately, again, it just sets the tone. It takes a lot of the anxiety and stress away and just makes it so much easier to keep your home clutter free. And so when it comes down to cleaning, you're like, oh, okay, well, the laundry is done. The laundry is put away. Okay, well, let me go ahead and wipe down and disinfect. Oh, okay. And it makes it a lot easier because now you've gotten yourself on a routine. And that is the main thing. It's just being consistent. We have to make sure that we have consistency within our routine. And, you know, they say it takes at least 30 days in order for that routine to be consistent and to really hone in. And so you want to have a schedule. That's another important thing to do. Have a schedule, especially when you're trying to juggle your own personal meetings, family meetings, family time, extracurricular activities, play dates. You want to have those things outlined. So what do you need? You need a family calendar. Creating a family calendar that can be shared across everybody's platform will make it so much easier. Most of the kids, they have cell phones. And I don't care if you're in elementary school, the smaller grades, they tend to not, but your third and up, typically a lot of them do have cell phones. So even teaching them the schedule and the calendar, go ahead and getting them in the habits, especially for the older kids. That way, when they have an event coming up, it can be shared in that family calendar. Mom, dad, siblings, everybody knows, especially when you have more than one child and they're each into different activities. So if one child has to be over here to skating practice, if another one has to be to gymnastics, as another one has dance class, and sometimes we know as adults, so schedules get convoluted and it's like, oh my God, these are at the same time. Who can I get to pick this one up? So another great thing to do, even as we teach our children to make friends, we do that as adults because we can also incorporate not just adult friendships, but then we can have somebody that can say, hey, Bethany is also in dance. Do you see if Bethany's mom wouldn't mind allowing you to ride with her? That way that creates that dynamics where it's not all on you. And you're utilizing resources that are around you. Now, of course, you have to utilize the spirit of discernment, making sure that you, this particular parent is trustworthy, you know, but you build that through rapport. You build that through relationship. You talking, hey, can I get Bethany's mom's number? And you having that conversation because there may be a time in the same need. Hey, Bethany's mom may call you. Can your kid ride with them so that they can get dropped off? You know, so you want to have those routines, and that helps taking some of the pressure off when you're able to figure out who else can you maybe call on from time to time when schedules do get conflicted. And again, having those calendars. Now, they have the fancy calendars that, you know, some people are getting on their fridges. If you have one of those fridges and that's what a calendar is, wonderful. That's great. You know, making sure that it's in sync with everybody's phone. They have the new standalone wall calendars where everything is digital. That is also great. You know what is also awesome? Assigning chores, because we are, as parents, we get worn out and tired, and we have to teach our children responsibility. This is a perfect time for them to learn that. So in addition to having our schedules and what events that we have going on and meetings, having a calendar with chores and everybody having an assignment makes things easy. It's somebody night on Monday to put the dishes in the dishwasher. It's so-and-so's night on this particular day to make sure they unload the dishwasher. Someone else is responsible for getting all the trash out. This person is responsible to making sure that the trash is out at the dumpster or down at the end of the street, or you have to walk it somewhere. You want to assign chores and make sure they're age specific. But again, even our younger ones, we're teaching them how to wipe down, how to clean up after themselves. It's okay to play with toys, but we're not pulling out every toy in this room. And then whatever you do pull out, we're teaching them, hey, you are responsible to put these things away. What better way to do it? So having that calendar and an assignment on whose night. This is also a great way for those that have preteens or teenagers that are getting into the habit of, you know, cooking or wanting to help more around the house, and they enjoy being in the kitchen with you. Why not have them help you with meal prepping, you know, helping you create a schedule with what meals that you're going to cook? Because if you have a schedule, that is great, because then, you know, Monday is pasta night. Tuesday is Taco Tuesday. Wednesday is free off, fend for yourself. Thursday is going to be lasagna night. Friday is meatloaf. Saturday is this. But it makes it a lot easier. You know what it also does? Create a list for us. Because a lot of times when we're in a grocery store, we're trying to figure out, what do I need? What do I need? And then we are sometimes in a habit of forgetting. Oh my God, I forgot to get this. I forgot milk. Well, I forgot this. So having accessibility to knowing what you're going to be preparing for the week is also going to help when you're sitting down trying to figure out how to prep for your grocery list. So meal prepping is very helpful in numerous ways. Also, you want to establish a budget. What is your budget for the week? If you normally spend $100 or $150 on groceries, that helps you to stay on target by creating a list and not veering off, getting stuff that you don't need or stuff sometimes you forget because we get excited. Now, one thing I was also taught from my mom is when stuff go on sale, you grab it. We're getting into the cooler months, so especially with frozen vegetables, or if you do fresh vegetables and you are a canning person, or you someone that do canned vegetables, listen, there is no judgment on my end at all. But this is a great time as you see different things on sale. Start building up, start putting some things away. That helps that, you know, when things are a little bit slower, or as you may run out of stuff, then you will know, okay, we are only down to 2 cans of string beans. I need to make sure I add them to my list. So that also kind of helps, especially when you have an impromptu quick meal. But sometimes we have that free for all. I don't know what I'm going to cook right now. So we'll kind of figure it out. And we just kind of rummage through our refrigerator, freezers, and pantries and try to figure out what can we do to put a meal together. So a great way of being cost effective and budget friendly is you want to stay within the budget and on your list as much as possible, but you also want to be mindful as you see certain items that are regular in rotation in your household to get those things on sale. A lot of times, especially for my household, when I see certain things like detergent on sale, if I see them buy one, get one free or drastically reduced, I typically go ahead and stock up, because detergent, we're always washing clothes. That's something we're going to always need. Same thing for dish liquid, same thing for body soaps and things of that nature. Those are the things that never, ever expire and that we're always constantly utilizing. So we want to make sure that we have our fair share of those things. I hope that these tips are really beneficial in helping you guys. So as we have our family-centered calendar, and again, it could be the digital, could be on our phone. We want to make sure we have our activities in there, updates. Another thing we need to do is make sure we have our kids' doctor's appointments, because a lot of times they have to have physicals for certain sports and activities that they're planning. So make sure that you have already pre-scheduled and you have arranged pickup and drop off, or if you're going to be having to sit there with them, or you have somebody that's going to be assisting you because I can't get off from work. You want to make sure you have that. You also want to make sure that when your kids are going to school, that they have the proper school supplies and their backpacks. You know, I know it's been a big controversy this school year, or at least I've seen on social media lately that people are like, I don't want to have just a whole barrage of school supplies. I feel like it should not be community type school supplies. I feel like whatever I send to my child should be the only one using it. And you know, people don't realize how much teachers actually spend and put out to get school supplies. And that's for a whole nother story and another topic. However, when you're putting your school supplies, if you want to label them, that's your choice. Go ahead and label your kids' pencils, pens, highlighters, things of that nature. You know, but also you want to give grace and teach your kids that if somebody else may not have that pencil or pen, it's okay to share, you know. So you want to also instill some of those habits where it's not just so selfish. Well, oh my goodness, my kid is the only one that can use this. No, it's okay that you bought it. You spent your hard-earned money. I do understand, but you also want to give grace if somebody does need it. And if somebody says, hey, can I borrow a pencil? Sure, just make sure you give it back. And that's teaching them responsibility and accountability, because the same way as parents and adults, we have to be responsible and accountable. We want to be able to start teaching our children that as well. And so we want to make sure that our backpacks are labeled. If you have smaller kids that still nap, are they bringing home their belongings that need to go in the washer? Making sure you're checking backpacks. Listen, how many times have we asked our kids, do you have homework? No, we don't have homework. Come to find out, by the time we get to parent-teacher conference, yeah, they don't bring their homework in. And you're looking at your kid like, I'll ask you every night, do you have homework? Well, sometimes we have to take a more aggressive approach. And it's okay to check the kid's backpack. It's not overstepping a boundary. It's being responsible to make sure that you are reading, because a lot of times they have notices in there from parents and they put their backpack down. They go straight to their room. They're ready to go outside and play. They're getting on their video games. They're doing everything else. They feel like school is done. I'm out of here. I don't have to worry about it. And so when we're getting into our routine, getting home, trying to make sure dinner is on the table at a certain time, making sure they're ready for bed, they're getting in the shower, they've had playtime, screen time, or whatever else that they may do while you're doing other things that you allot them, we still have to make sure that we're not just as trusting and not going through their backpacks and looking to make sure there's nothing in there that we have missed. Also, a lot of these teachers now are also utilizing various apps. So you want to make sure whatever apps you may need that's going to keep you in constant communication, not just with their teacher or school, but also concerning the extracurricular activities, you make sure that you can do that. So you're checking your text messages. A lot of us are able to communicate via text. We might not be able to take a lot of personal phone calls, but no problem. At least you can text or go into the app, ask questions. Make sure that you are not an absent parent, but make sure that you are involved, asking questions and being able to show up for when your kids need it, because you don't know what they may be silently going through that they're not discussing, which is why I also said creating a safe space. So you want to make sure too, as you are preparing, as I mentioned, with their clothes and their laundry, having that routine of either you, them, or collective effort picking up their clothes for the week. That way, that's less stressful, because a lot of times, especially in the teenage years, they are so indecisive. Oh my gosh, I don't look good. I look fat. Or I don't like the way this outfit looks. And they're just so self-conscious because they're looking and they feel like, you know, whether they're just not having a good day, or they may be going through something that they're silently not sharing at the moment. For young teens, they're hormonal. You know, there could be a little boy that they're liking or something. We don't know. It could be a whole bunch of things. And so in their minds, they're trying to get ready and nothing in their closet fits right. Nothing looks right. They don't like how this outfit looks. And I mean, you know, to us, we're just looking as parents like, there's nothing wrong with it. It looks good. But, you know, they're having a meltdown, you know, and it is all too familiar. So what do you have to do? You have to calm them down, encourage them, love on them, reaffirm them so they can feel confident when they leave that house. So we want to make sure that we are teaching them good grooming habits and we have them prepared. So if you're able to help them have preparedness by supplying their week of outfits. For the smaller ones, that works great. You don't have to worry about what they're wearing to school. For those that wear uniforms, that's even better, because all they have to do is have their uniform shirt, typically their khaki or blue pants or skort, and choose and keep it moving. But for those that do kind of have to figure out what do I need to wear, stop putting together those outfits. It makes it easier. You can get those cute little buckets and label it. You can have the little things that you can get from Dollar Tree and you can label. There's so many different options. Or if you hang them in a closet and get a little hanger tag that says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even if they shift them around and say, I want to wear Monday's outfit on Friday and I want to wear Friday's outfit today, that's fine. But at least you have established what they're going to wear. And that's another thing that's taken off your plate and you're not stressed about. Now, for the teenagers, they don't want no help. They don't want no help with anybody picking out anything. But you do have to be mindful of what they are wearing, especially because a lot of our teenagers, you know, they are wanting to attract the attention of the other sex. They're into dating and things of that nature. So you just want to be mindful as parents and what they are wearing, what type of look are they giving off, to make sure it's also within school policy, because a lot of schools, they do have a dress code. You know, they want shirts that are not midriff type shirts, or it has to be within a certain length. They want skirts and shorts at a certain length. So you want to make sure that you are abiding by the dress code. You can't help that the teenager may or may not. Now, you want to encourage these behaviors, because a lot of times when you encourage it, they do tend to stick with it. But if they don't, parents, it's nothing you did wrong. You have to remember, we were teenagers once. We were rebellious once. So you have to give them a little bit of space, but you still want to have that control and that fist to say, listen, well, the iron fist to say, listen, I have to put my foot down. This is unacceptable. No, you can't wear this. Or, listen, we need to go ahead and speed this up. Whatever you're going to wear, we need to come on, because we have to be out of this door in 5 minutes. So helping them and training them from a younger age helps them to stick with that as they get older. Now, listen, I know I've talked about our school-age kids, but I haven't forgot about you college kids at all. For my parents, and I know school is in session and, you know, a lot of them have gone back to college or getting ready to go back to college now. That's wonderful. You probably already have gotten their dorms together. You've already kind of solidified, you know, how the room is going to look, and you have to kind of now step back a little bit. And so that can sometimes, as a parent, be twofold. It could be emotional, because I see, oh my goodness, my baby is no longer a baby. You know, this is the time that I dreamed of. They're now going to school. I'm excited that they're going to school. I'm excited for this new opportunity. But then you're, you know, a little nervous, because we see the world that we live in with, you know, so many things going on, and we have to remain positive, optimistic, and prayerful, you know, but we want to make sure that we are setting them up for success. So you want to make sure that they have the school supplies that they need. They have the computer that they need. And when it comes to their budget, because a lot of them, you know, they may eat on campus, they may eat off campus. What is your budget for them? You know, whether you're going to establish a weekly budget that, hey, I will send you $200 a week. And out of this $200 a week, you need to make sure that you do X, Y, and Z. Are you going to now require them to work part time? Hey, my allowance for you is only $200 for the month. Anything over that, you need to find a part time job. You want to go ahead and encourage that independence, because when they're in college, they're grooming now for their career. They have graduated. They are into their adulthood. They're learning how to not only live selectively or insufficient or sufficiently away from you, but now they have to kind of figure out, how do I manage? You know, mom's not here to tell me what to do, whether I go to class or not. Somebody's not here to tell me to get up at 5 o'clock because I have to get to the bus stop at 6:40. Nobody is telling you that. And so you want to make sure that through their years that you have established, you've opened those lines of communication. So again, that they can come to you and talk to you, not just rule from that iron fist of, I'm telling you to do this, 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 this. When they're at a certain age, you have to listen. And you might not like everything that they say, but you have to be respectful and find ways to be able to articulate. Because we are, at this point, when they're in college, they're young adults. You know, so they're young adults with their own mindsets, their own thoughts, their own opinions, whether we like those opinions or not, whether we agree with those opinions or not. But you also want to make sure they're achieving success, both academically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And so we need to make sure that we are establishing that. So making sure that budgets are in place, realistic expectations while they are away are in place. How are you going to help them, whether it be financially, or they're going to maybe stay local, and are they not going to a regular university? Maybe they decided that they want to go to a career school. Are you still going to be supportive? Yes, parents, we still have to be supportive. If they decide that, hey, I'm going to do a smaller college or community college for the first year or two and then transfer, wonderful. So what boundaries are you going to establish if they are still remaining with you at home? Because a lot of times they are still living at home. And the reason of them going to community college could be a difference of reasons. It could be financial. It could be I have a sick family or a sick parent. It could just be before I transition to a university, I want to have this experience, or I'm really undecided. These people are young adults. They're coming straight from out of college. And how many times have they changed their majors? How many times have you gone to college and maybe have changed your major or have dropped out? We don't want to see that for our children, because we always want our children to do better than us. Yes. But we also want to be able to be realistic and have conversations. A lot of times we feel like we can't be honest, or we try to hide things. No, go ahead and be open. Be honest. They are adults now. No more hiding. Don't be ashamed of it, because by you having those open conversations, allow them to be able to see, oh, mom did go through it. Oh, dad do understand. Okay, son. Yeah. Okay, dad. Thank you. And you still walk with them. You share with them. You encourage them. You help them to make their decision. But at the end of the day, it is that their decision. You want to just be the listening ear. So you want to make sure not only are there dorm rooms, you know, we can put all the fancy lights and all of the fancy bedding and have it as beautiful as possible, because we want them to have this posh experience, and we have this home away from home, and we want them to feel comfortable. Yes, we do. But we also want to set them up in other areas to make sure that they are ready and they are prepared. And as parents, as we are letting our grip go for this transition into adulthood and self-sufficiency that we have established. So again, preparing, hey, these are our new, that, you know, some of them are 18, they're coming fresh out. And even though society says they're still adults, their mindsets are still not to a thorough, you know, adult of someone with age and years of wisdom. So we still have to help them along. So having a calendar to make sure that they are tracking their activities. A lot of them are still in sports, especially those that are on a sports scholarship, and they have to maintain a certain GPA level. If you need to get them a tutor, hey, set that up. Let's go ahead and be proactive to make sure that your grades are being able to maintain so you can continue to stay in school and play football, basketball, whatever your scholarship may be. And your academics won't be affected. You know, a lot of people like going to college because they feel like this is their first level of freedom, their first level of independence. My parents aren't here. They can't tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want to. And yes, you can. But you also have to remember there are still consequences in each and everything that you do and every decision that you make, good, bad, or indifferent. There is still a consequence that is associated. So we want to make sure that the decisions that we are, that they are making, that we have instilled in them, what is necessary for them to make logical, good decisions regarding their lives. So setting them up is very, very important. All right, so let's get back. What else do we need to do? We need to make sure that we have goals for our kids, whether it is academic goals, whether it's social goals. What goals are we going to have? And not just for our children, but do we have goals for ourselves? You know, things that we want to do. Do we have things outlined, discussed in our calendars to make sure that we are meeting certain deadlines, not just in our day-to-day work schedules, but as a family. Have we scheduled our vacations? Hey, Christmas is coming up. Thanksgiving is coming up. Okay, next year during this particular break, are we going to do this? What do we got planned for spring break? And you may be saying, that is so minute. It may be, but to properly plan is to also properly be prepared. And it also sets an expectation of something you're excited for. You want to prep and plan these things. So by the time the school year, by the time that first break comes, they're excited, you're excited, and you're doing something together as a collective and as a family. I don't care if it's for one day, 2 day, or is your house the house where everybody comes for Thanksgiving? Are you going out of town to visit family? Do you have to plan a trip as far as getting a rental car? Do you plan to fly? Are you guys going to take the train? Are you having your kids come home? Are your kids staying in college and they're going to go with someone else with family? Those are the things you want to prepare and plan so that way you are already aware and it's in your calendar. We want our calendar to be solidified at least 6 months out if possible. That helps to make sure over the next 6 months that we are sticking to our schedule. Now, hear me. That calendar, yes, it's probably going to change. Things are going to get canceled. Somebody's going to get sick. Our vacation may not work out. There can be a lot of different things that may need to alter. But when you visually see your goals and you visually see what you planned out, it gives you the excitement and something to really work towards and know that you're going to try to accomplish this. Again, life is going to happen. There's nothing that we can do about that. But what we can do is properly plan for those things and making sure that we are ready to go forward. So guess what, guys? Now let's talk about, now that we plan, can we talk about what do we need to do to make sure moving forward that this plan stays intact?
Okay.
So let's get into that, guys. All right. So let's talk about it. Let's take a quick break and we're going to play some music for our hot moment.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that was Phil Collins. I just inserted that real quick, but guess what? We're about done on today's episode, but I do want to now finish with one last thing. Celebrate. Are you celebrating your milestones? No matter what that is, it could be something simple, but we have to celebrate, including our young adults, our teenagers, preteens, tweens, little ones. We want to feel celebrated as adults. We want to feel acknowledged. We want to feel included. We want to do the same with our young ones. We want to make sure that if they've gotten A's and they bought a grade up or they've accomplished something, they made the basketball team, they overcame a fear, they met somebody new, made a new friend. You want to celebrate and let them know. And celebrating is done in different ways. It's not all about going out and spending money, but you want to reaffirm them. You want to continue to encourage healthy behaviors, healthy conversations, them stepping out of what is familiar, what is comfortable. You know, we as adults, we have these mindsets and we always say we want our kids to do better than us. Well, what does that look like? How do we get there? If we were awkward teens or we were awkward and really didn't talk, and kind of stayed to ourselves and stayed in a shell. How do you overcome that? You know, have you even overcome that? You know, and we always say, I don't want you to experience that. I want you to go and enjoy your high school time. I want you to make friends in middle school. You know, these are the things that we encourage our kids, but we have to show them as well. And we have to celebrate when it is done. We want to make sure that we are supportive of them, whatever their goals are, whatever their dreams are. You know, a lot of times we want to live through our kids and things that we may not have accomplished, or I didn't make the cheer team, so I want to make sure my kid does. Or I went to this university, so I want to make sure that my kid does because I want them to be a legacy member. I want them to join this fraternity. I want them to join this sorority, whatever it is. But we have to make sure that we aren't overly projecting on our children so they still have the ability to make decisions based off what they enjoy, what they want. They might not want to go to our old alma mater. They want to go somewhere else. They may not want to be a fourth police chief, you know, because that's what runs in the family. They may not want to be an attorney. They may not want to be a dancer, even though mom was, grandma was, auntie was, uncle was. If it's in them and that's what they want to do, wonderful, celebrate it, enjoy it. But give them the ability to also be free and do what makes them happy and still be supportive and help them through whatever their journey is and love on them regardless. You know, again, it goes back to creating that safe space, creating a space of harmony and connection where you guys can talk. Hey, having a family game night, you know, something that you guys can do as a collective once a month where you putting the phones down, they're putting the phones down, no video games. We're not doing all of the electronics right now. We're going to have game night. We're going to play Connect Four. We're going to play Monopoly. We're going to play Uno. You know, there could be a time where you want to do a movie night, and I'll get into some more of these suggestions on another episode, but creating a theater in your home, creating a fort, cutting all the lights down. Let's create a movie night experience. Let's have nachos. Let's have hot dogs. Let's have popcorn and soda. We're going to create a buffet and we're going to all come in and sit down together and enjoy this movie. It's creating memories, and creating those memories looks different for each and every person. But as school is in session, they want to, as the young ones, they still want to have some family time. Now, I know teenagers act like sometimes I hate you, I can't stand you, get on my nerves. Yes, you do. That means you're doing something, because you know what? As parents, we're not going to always be on our kids' good side. We're going to get on their nerves. And that's because we love them and we want to see the best for them. And we don't want to see them go down a negative path or have a negative track history as what we may have experienced or someone else may have experienced. But we also have to foster those good relationships and having those family nights and showing up. And even if you don't do anything that I said, but just taking some time to just really talk, listen, whatever it is, what works for you in your household is what you do. but school is back in session. And these are tips and tricks and things that you could do to prepare your household, prepare your family, prepare your mindset, and to help relieve stress and help create and foster a relationship of love and encouragement, of strength, of empowerment, of togetherness, and that we are fearless. And as a family, we can come together and achieve anything. I hope you guys have enjoyed today's episode of Real Home. And listen, this is just the beginning. We are back. I am so excited, and there's more to come. So make sure you tune in every single Thursday. Make sure you also are chatting with us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. Facebook, we have a community, Real Home Show. Tap in, ask questions, comment about today's episode. Let me know if any of these ideas or tips that I've shared with you today has been beneficial, has helped you in any way. And I hope that you will stay tuned as Real Home comes back next week. Same time, same channel on Harp Sound Radio.
That's all, folks. We're wrapping up this week's show. And thank you for tuning in to Real Home, hosted by Tamara Taylor. Make sure you join our Facebook community at Real Home Show, as well as on other social media platforms as Real Home Show. Until next time.